This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. The India-Pakistan thing, I know you have questions about it. I have questions about it. It's a very confusing part of the world. BK, you know BK. BK is going to join us about 30 minutes from now. He knows all kinds of stuff about that. We're going to ask BK, give us a little background. What's going on? Why are these people beating each other up and things like that? Okay. Before we get to the emails and what Trump said about Colorado and so much more, let's talk about the Pam Bondi Cash Patel thing. The thing being the press conference from today. Pam Bondi came out. She said this.
Today, we are proud to announce the results of the FBI's Operation Restore Justice Initiative. This historic, unprecedented nationwide operation led to the arrest of 205 child sex predators. Unbelievable. In just 5 days.
Okay. Cash Patel said this.
Our children, if you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary. There is no place we will not come to hunt you down. There is no place we will not look for you. And there is no cage we will not put you in should you do harm to our children. The prioritization of this administration and General Bondi has made it abundantly clear to child predators, you will be hunted down and you will be prosecuted.
Okay. Well, don't look for me to complain about a bunch of scumbags who hurt kids being taken off the streets. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But we've kind of had this talk before, so let's have it again. I am wary right now. Wary. Watching, and I'm wary. And this is what I'm wary of. Being played. I got a text message today from a special agent, the FBI. He saw the same press conference. You want to know what he said? Verbatim. I'm going to read it right off my phone. FYI. The FBI bragging about arresting child predators is a rebrand. They do this every year. They just changed the name of the program to Play the Conservative Media. Used to be called Operation Cross Country. It was done for 20 plus years. Now that's from an FBI special agent. I am not here to complain about arresting a bunch of child abusing freaks. Throw them in the Pacific Ocean for all I care. I don't care, right? I'm not complaining about that. I'm glad those people are arrested. I'm glad they're off the streets. I'm not here to complain about the Attorney General or the FBI director giving a press conference. I am, however, wary of being played. Meaning, give us morsels, little morsels of things you know we like. Who on the right is going to complain about this? Everyone's thrilled about that. Only the left is worried about taking pedos off the street. The right loves that kind of thing. But are they doing this to distract from things like this? This was James Comer. He was on with Benny Johnson.
I hope James has the Epstein files because I don't think the Department of Justice has them, or at least the Attorney General does not have them, or she would have turned them over. The president ordered them released. The Attorney General ordered them released. We all know they have not been released. And one of my biggest fears that I had, and I expressed this with Cash Patel and a lot of people, Stephen Miller and a lot of people going into the new administration. I'm like, you know, I hope they're not shredding documents right now. This was a few weeks before the transition. I said, I hope they're not shredding documents. But you all need to go on that first day and try to get all this stuff released because, you know, my fear is from what I've dealt with in investigations and in communication with this deep state apparatus is they're probably in there shredding documents as we speak.
Let's think about that. Remember that long talk we had? last night, and in case you missed it, I'm not even trying to get you just to download the podcast, but iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, hour one from last night, I really laid out a lot of the FBI's recent history. So let's think about what James Comer just said. James Comer is somebody who would know. He's worried that they destroyed the evidence. Who's they? The FBI. Let's recap another story that I didn't talk about in hour one last night. Jeffrey Epstein, as you know, billionaire, abused women with other powerful people around the globe, including America. He got busted in New York. There's a picture. You could go look it up. The picture is available online. I'm not making it up. There's a picture when they busted his home. They opened up a drawer. I believe it was in his office, but they opened up a drawer. And in this drawer were a bunch of DVDs that he had made. DVDs of, well, things you probably wouldn't want to see. He loved to gather blackmail material. We know this about Jeffrey Epstein. He loved to gather blackmail material on the people who, I hate to even say it like this. I don't even know. The whole thing makes me want to vomit. Used his services, if you will. If you used his services, he would record you. So he had blackmail material over you. FBI gets a warrant. They raid his home in New York. They find an entire drawer. You should see this drawer. They're stacked in there. They leave the drawer and all that stuff alone. The FBI did. Eventually, they were told, hey, go back and get that stuff. They went back to go get it. And of course, it was all gone. They'd cleaned out the evidence. The FBI, the same FBI that covered for Larry Nassar while he was abusing gymnasts, when James Comer says they maybe destroyed the files, he's discussing the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now, Jeffrey Epstein had damaging information exposing very powerful people. If the Federal Bureau of Investigation had possession of that information and destroyed that information so it can't come to light to protect powerful people, whoever those powerful people may be, that's a big deal. And it makes me wary of things like this.
Our children, if you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary. There is no place we will not come to hunt you down. There is no place we will not look for you. And there is no cage we will not put you in should you do harm to our children.
Now, if the mass arrest of 200 pedophile freaks comes in conjunction with the mass arrest of 200 FBI agents, sign me up. All on board. But if the mass arrest of 200 child pedophile freaks comes in order to placate me so I stop demanding government arrests, then that is not okay. And I am worried that that's what it is. And I don't know yet. I won't know yet. And don't send me your emails complaining. Ah, Jesse, you're too hard on them. Don't do that. If you're looking for pom-poms, you've come to the wrong place. I have demands. Not cheers. I have demands as an American citizen. I hope you have demands as an American citizen. You have every right to make demands of this administration, of the people you voted for. You voted for them because you're a free American who wants things done. Stay demanding. Not cheering. Demanding. We'll see. We will see. Let's do some more emails. Hey, Jesse, what do you think about Vance Trump ticket in 2028? A winner or a loser? Okay, well, obviously, we'd love to talk about this stuff because we're into politics and we're thinking about the future. What does 28 bring? What about Vance Trump? Well, here's my thinking. I'm okay with that if it's Don Jr. I like Don Jr. I think he's really sharp. I have never, in my times talking to him, I've never gotten the feeling that he wants to run for office, though. So don't think that I'm telling you who's running. I don't. But as far as Trump Sr. goes, he's been the central figure in the GOP for 10 years now. Remember, it's a decade. It's been a long time. At some point, we are going to have to chart a path forward without him, no matter what. I'm not saying that has to be in 2028, but that makes me kind of hesitant to do the Vance Trump thing, which Vance Trump wouldn't happen anyway. Trump's not playing second fiddle to anybody, J.D. Vance or anyone else. Every reporter would just talk to Trump all the time. It wouldn't work. If we try to get cutesy like that, it wouldn't work. And Trump has said he's not interested in that, right? He just came out yesterday and said, nah, I'm not doing any of that. All right, let's talk about Trump versus Colorado and the storm that is coming one day in this country. Before we get there, let me talk to you about Pure Talk, my cell phone company. I love that you love it. I love it. This is what I love. I love not paying a mobile company that hates my guts. Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T hate your guts. They do. They hate your guts. They use the money we send them against us all the time, and we haven't had options. In the past, we didn't have any options. That was really, if you wanted cell phone service, that's what you had to have. Not with Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. And Pure Talk not only saves you a fortune, not only do they share our values, promote our values, they're giving out brand new smartphones right now, Samsung Galaxies, for free with a qualifying plan. And those start at $35 a month. $35 a month for unlimited talk and text and a free smartphone? It's 10 minutes to switch. On the phone, speaking to an American, which I love. I love that they hire Americans. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, BK with World News with BK is coming up 10 minutes from now. Talk about this India-Pakistan thing. Probably is something we should keep our eye on, being it's how they're both nuclear powers. So just generally, that's not ideal. So let's just discuss this really quickly. Trump did something that raised some eyebrows. He sent the Department of Justice, essentially, after Colorado. This is what he said. Tina, he's talking about Tina Peters, is an innocent political prisoner being horribly and unjustly punished in the form of cruel and unusual punishment. This is a communist persecution by the radical left Democrats to cover up their election crimes and misdeeds in 2020. After all that, anyway, he goes on and on and on. And he is, Colorado must end this unjust incarceration. I am hereby directing the Department of Justice to take all necessary action to help release this hostage being held in Colorado prison by Democrats for political reasons. Free Tina Peters now. Tina Peters is a Gold Star mom. Her son died. Navy SEAL died. She's, wonderful. Look, a hero, right? A hero who gave up her son for this country. Colorado Democrats, of course, locked her in a cage. Trump is saying, let her out now, or I'm sending the Department of Justice after you. And I just want to talk about the reaction to this I've seen from a lot of people on all sides, that this is too far. And they're thinking about, well, this opens up a whole new can of worms. Think about the American president sending the DOJ after an individual state because the state arrested someone the president liked. And my point in this talk is simply this. Times have changed. Not for the better. I'm not saying they have, but times have changed. And this is where we're going now as a country. The election in November didn't change that. The next election at the midterms, or the election after that, or the election after that, nothing will probably change where we're going right now. And where we are going is separate. We are dividing. We are balkanizing already as a country. The left and right share nothing in common anymore because they're a bunch of savage demons trying to burn it down. You can't share a country with places like that. And so on a 30,000-foot view, the country will continue in various ways to balkanize and separate and draw lines that we're going to fight over. Right now, it's Donald Trump saying this to Colorado. This is why I have begged red state attorney generals. Yes, I know it's not. I know it's attorneys general. I don't say that stupid word. I've begged attorney generals. I have begged Republican governors in red states to begin forming coalitions with each other. Coalitions designed not to defy necessarily the federal government. That's not what I'm saying. But to defend their citizens against the federal government, because our future is one of division. There's no way around it. If you're mortified by what the communists did last time, they'll do worse next time. Communists don't put on the brakes. They don't reverse. They don't express regret. They don't look at all the horrible laws they broke and norms they blew up or any of that stuff and have a moment of sympathy. I've asked before. I'll ask you again right now. Donald Trump, as you know, was shot in the head. He was prosecuted in multiple jurisdictions. All the prosecutions were ridiculous, as everyone knows. They raided his home. The Democrat in your life, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, have you heard them utter a single word of regret about how they used the Justice Department when they had control of it? Over how Letitia James used New York's Justice Department? Have you heard a single Democrat in this country say, yeah, that was probably wrong to use the legal system to go after our political opponent? You haven't. I've asked this question before. It's universal. Nobody's ever heard of regret. The only regret I've heard out of one person, he said, well, I think it probably hurt us in the election. That was their only regret. Their only regret was, maybe cost us some votes. They believe in silencing people, censoring people, arresting their political opponents, hurting their political opponents. Once you get to that place as a country where they have dehumanized you and they want to hurt you, the future is only division. Without them reforming, the future is only division. As I've talked about so many times before, reformation of the Democrat Party is necessary. We have to have it if we're going to save the United States of America. We can hold off and hold out for a while until then, but we have got to have a different Democrat Party than we have now. All right, we're leaving the shores of America, and we're going over to India and Pakistan, to the land known as Kashmir. Yes, I know that's a wonderful Led Zeppelin song, but that's not what we're talking about for our purposes. We're going to get with BK and figure out why these people are shooting each other, and I'm assuming throwing poop at each other. Next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're about to find out about what's going on in India and Pakistan. It all seems really strange. But first, as BK, host of the World News with BK podcast, former Air Force PJ, joins us. BK, right before I joined the Marine Corps, I wanted to have a big blowout concert with my boys. And so we road tripped it to Denver and went to the Summer Sanitarium Tour, where Power Man 5000 and System of a Down opened for Kid Rock, Korn, and Metallica. Now, that was a concert.
You know, you tell me this, and yet now I suspect that you dislike any good music, and you probably listen to, like, old man country music while slamming me. I happen to like Power Man 5000 and Syndrome of a Down, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Look, just because I had a good time at the concert doesn't mean the music itself is great. Well, we don't have to go into the details. Let's go into the details of that far-off land known as India and the land adjacent to it known as Pakistan. All we get are the headlines, BK. This area is very confusing to most people, not insulting people. Yes. It's just there's all kinds of history here, all kinds of ugliness here. I give you the radio show. What's going on and why should I care?
Well, Jesse, as somebody, as probably the podcasting world's foremost expert in Kashmir, I probably talked about it more than anybody else in the United States. It's been a long time coming. You know, this really started, it started to kick off with the Great Partition, of course, of India and Pakistan, which happened right after World War II, because one of the main reasons was the Brits were broke, right? They didn't have the manpower, they didn't have the money to keep administering this colonial state of India. So they had some civil servant sit in an office, draw up a map. They divided the country up into two. A massive slaughter ensued with both, because now you have a bunch of Muslims living in now India, and you have a bunch of Indians living in now Pakistan. They got to get back home. They're killing each other the whole way. Like, up to millions of people died during that. So meantime, the very northern tip is up where Kashmir is. Now, this place had always been kind of semi-autonomous. This was the land of the Maharajas. They were landed, think of them as like mayors with land, right? But they were the, like, the local rulers. And when the Brits were like, okay, we don't even have time to deal with you. There's 500 plus Maharajas. You guys decide which country you want to be a part of. We're out of here. So one guy, the guy who pretty much ran Kashmir, he was a Hindu man himself, but his land was like 75% Muslim. He decided, being a Hindu, he would side with India, right? That is what created, they almost immediately went to war, because all of a sudden now, once he decides, I'm going to be with India, all kinds of Pakistani militants start coming into the country to try to fight for Pakistan. He's like, well, I'm going to go with India in exchange for security guarantees. War ensues, and they had ceasefire after ceasefire. Then we get to the 80s, and now, in addition to the Pakistanis and the Indians fighting over Kashmir, now you have the Kashmir insurgency, the natives who are living there, who are deciding, like, wait a minute, we don't want to be with either one of you. We have our own language. We have our own culture. We want to be our own country. And that kicked off a whole separate insurgency. That's why Kashmir, they say, is one of the most militarized areas in the entire world, Jesse. And then it's been sporadic. They kind of crushed that independence rebellion so far. It sparks up again every once in a while. But it never really went away. So now this latest kickoff was a story I covered in depth several weeks ago. And this was the murder of the tourists in Kashmir. And they were almost primarily of Hindu descent. And they were all pretty much unarmed. And India looked at this, and knowing the sentiments of its people, decided that this cannot go unpunished. They totally assumed that Pakistani-funded militants were behind this newest attack yet again. So to save face, they decided they had to do something, and they launched the strikes, Jesse. So that's a very, very brief history of what happened in Kashmir and why the way it is today.
Okay, well, I have about 8 million follow-up questions. Right. I'll just settle up on one for right now. I get what you just said about this area of Kashmir, but when I get these casualty numbers in my head over one area, it normally tells me that area provides some sort of value that each country wants. I've never been to Kashmir. I don't even know what it looks like. What's the value in this? Why are people killing each other for it?
So part of it is all about money. You know, Kashmir is up near Nepal. It's considered just a gorgeous, geographically beautiful area, and it receives heavy, heavy tourism every year. I've never been there myself either, but it's considered, like, they call it like the Switzerland of Asia, to kind of give you a kind of mental image. You know, breathtaking views, the mountains, the valleys. And in that valley of Kashmir, the main valley, that's where the true Kashmir insurgency began, because those are the people who speak that separate language of Kashmir. They don't speak Indian or Pakistani. And that's pretty much why they've been fighting over it. And then a lot of it, and I think the second reason really is just this long, decades-long campaign of fighting each other, and nobody's willing to back down. And, you know, Jesse, we don't really understand this in America, because we're much more of a melting pot than any other country. But ethnic tensions and tribalism are responsible for 90% of the conflicts around the globe. And in my opinion, this one's no different. I think that's what it is. I think neither one's willing to back down. They're like, hey, and it's very, very tribal up there. And that's just the way it is.
BK, again, we're speaking with BK, host of the World News with BK. Not that people are experts on India, which is a very large, very complicated place anyway, but Pakistan, Talk to me about their government, BK. Who runs it? Are they our friends? Are they our enemies? Talk to me about Pakistan.
Well, Pakistan, it's kind of, we, the United States, have kind of soured on Pakistan in recent decades because they really weren't playing ball. After the whole global war on terror kicked off, we suspected Pakistan, of course, of hiding militant leaders who would attack our troops in Afghanistan,
no,
across the border. Yeah, I know, shocking, right? Of course, famously, they were hiding Osama bin Laden, right? But they didn't know anything about that, the government, right? Even with their vast secret police apparatus, they didn't know anything about that. So we've kind of soured on Pakistan. And then, you know, Trump and India was like the up and coming, right? India is now the number one most populous country in the world. And we considered them a more friendly, open to democracy government. Trump and Narendra Modi, especially in Trump's first term, were really hitting it off. We have a enormous Indian American population and many immigrants from India. So I think that all comes to ties. And at the end of the day, I know that a lot of our national security apparatus believes Pakistan is much more sympathetic to terrorists and terrorism than India is.
I just can't get my head around the curry, BK. The smell is so bad, and the flavor. I was just in a restaurant, and they gave us these chips, and I took one bite. I almost had to spit it out, and I asked, what's on these chips? And they put curry on the chips. I don't understand the curry thing.
Yeah, and I don't really get it either. So, you know, curry is the UK's national dish?
Oh.
And it always confused me because I was like, wait a minute, that's not even like British. I mean, we've all had British, big air quotes here, Jesse, food before. And
yeah,
so it's not surprising that they would adopt a spicy, flavorful dish. And somebody else told me, well, it didn't really exist like this until the Brits got it. But yeah, I'm not a fan. I get it sometimes. Our local farmer's market has a little Indian place here. I get it every once in a great while, the chicken tandoori, but I'm not a huge fan of it. And I certainly have no desire to go to India and eat their street food because I like my stomach and not exploding into a million pieces.
Yeah, I'd rather not melt my insides unless it's on American food like Taco Bell. BK, appreciate you. As always, go download World News with BK if you want a lot more knowledge about foreign affairs. I thought everybody, myself included, could use a little India-Pakistan primer,
yes,
if you will.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. You know what you could use? An IQ sense. I'm about to tell you about something horrific I went through last night. It was a concert for the kids and an art display. Yeah, I know it was a lot, but one good thing did happen there. As I was leaving, I got stopped by one of the security guards, and he said, hey, are you the one who gave us these IQ senses? Because Chef IQ, they sent me a bunch of these wireless cooking thermometers, the IQ senses, and I handed them out at the school. Yeah, everybody thinks I walk on water there now. They're like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. I'm telling you, the IQ sense is going to change your life. A wireless cooking thermometer that you leave in the meat, not opening, closing, checking, checking, checking. You just put it in the meat. Put it in the oven, put it on the grill, put it on the smoker, and you walk away. Your phone tells you when it's done. You just set the desired temperature and beep, 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 done. It's perfect every time. You can't miss. An idiot like me can do it. You want one? 15% off at checkout at chefiq.com. Code Jesse. Chefiq.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
Listening to the Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Okay, I have to tell you about something horrific that happened to me last night, and then we'll get back into the news, do some emails and things like that. So, my kids, I have kids, two sons. One of them is taking high school art. He has to take some kind of fine arts, so he chose art. The other one is in the middle school band. Plays the, what's the big one? Corey, what's the big one? Is it the trumpet? No, that's a small, the tuba, that's right, the tuba, that's what he plays. He sits back there with the tuba and he plays the tuba. I'm sure that's probably because he's one of the worst ones or something like that, but either way, he does that. Last night, after the show, it was school concert slash art display night. Meaning, I had to race home, throw decent clothes on, and go to the school. First, it was an art exhibit, which I care about my son's art, which I'm a parent. It all looks good to me because he's my son. But I don't care about any other kid's art. That doesn't do anything for me at all. That's one. Two, concert starts. My youngest son's in the eighth grade. We have to sit there while the fifth graders play. And then the sixth graders play and on and on and on. Finally, the eighth graders are playing. And he's on about the last song. And we're going to leave before the high school starts playing. Ob looks up at me with those puppy dog eyes. She has these amazing blue eyes. And she says, "Can we please stay for the high school thing too?" And I immediately look at her and I say, "No, I'm not staying. Absolutely not." And she looks and she says, "Please." And I broke down and I agreed. And it was brutal, beyond brutal. I just had to get that off my chest. I feel better about it. Yeah, that's a good point, Corey. I'll make that her Mother's Day gift. I can't wait to tell her that. I can't wait to let her know this Sunday. It's Sunday, right? Sunday. Sunday's Mother's Day. Reminder to you. Sunday's Mother's Day. I'm going to let Ob know. I'll put it in a card. I'll put a note in there. Your Mother's Day gift is the fact that I stayed late so you could listen to the high school band play. That was the Mother's Day thing. Jesse, the stupidity of giving illegals $1,000 to leave is moronic by Christy Noem. It's an incentive for more people to come into the United States illegally. She doesn't seem too bright. Okay, so this guy's angry. For those who missed it, we didn't really talk about it much yesterday. Trump, his administration has a new thing. Their new thing is they're going to pay, if you're here illegally, they'll give you $1,000 to leave. And they're trying to do the carrot and stick thing. If you leave voluntarily, we'll give you $1,000 and you can come back. If you don't, then we're going to fine you, throw you in prison, and you're never allowed back. Look, I understand what they're doing. What they're doing is trying to figure out how to make mass deportation happen because America's system won't allow it to happen. So they're trying to come up with new and inventive ways to get these people out. It's hard for me to kill them for that because I understand what they're doing. I understand why they're doing it. It's just, look, it's all a big old mess. Oh, I forgot about this one. Listen to this one. Subject to this one is your show saved me. Hey, Jess, I'm not sure how to say this without sounding sappy, so I'll just come right out with it. You and your crew has helped me through one of the darkest periods in my life. I've been a daily listener for 3 years now. Over that period, I've encountered one tragic event after another. I've lost friends, family, pets, my job, and my wife. At the end of last year, I was so down, every day I had to think of reasons to continue. I knew I was in trouble when thoughts of suicide made me feel upbeat and hopeful, as if there was some way out of the pain. I wouldn't actually go through with it. My folks are still alive, and there's no way I would put them through that kind of grief. I turned to Jesus and prayed like never before, and I continued listening to your show. I'll pause for a moment here and tell you that I am blind. I essentially live in a world of sound. Every time you come on the air, I can hear the smile on your face. It's strange, even though we've never met, I've come to think of you as a friend, a big brother, and I trust you more than folks I have interacted with. I'll wrap this up by saying that I'm so grateful for you, Chris, and Corey for hanging out with me for 3 hours a day. Your voice, your example, your heart is so critical at this moment in history, not just for me, but for the world. I hope to meet you all someday. The $75 tequila is on me. I love you guys. Well, we're a family, brother. Look, I'm not different than you. I'm on the radio, right? But we're all in this together. We're all in this struggle together, this political struggle, cultural struggle, and the daily struggles of life that come. And it sounds like you certainly have gone through plenty of those. And I'm glad you found your way through. Keep going. What I've always told you, no matter what, whether it's a divorce or a job loss or a illness of some kind, cancer, you know, something. Everyone goes through horrible things. Everybody does. Just keep going. Just keep going. Don't ever consider ending it. Don't ever consider that you're worthless, that nobody cares. The struggle, that's the victory. If you're struggling with addiction, I tell you that all the time. If you're struggling, that means you're winning. Doesn't feel like it. Jesse, but I'm struggling. Well, that means you're going to find a way out eventually. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. I don't know when. It takes time. You'll find a way out. Just keep going. All right? All right. Before we get back to the emails, I'm going to do a couple things. First, Scott Bessent had to give some testimony today, and he said something about the payments and why everybody's failing audits that pairs pretty nicely with this story about a foreign aid official who was stealing. There's not another way to put it, stealing. Let's combine all these things and have a little talk about the looting of the treasury. Before we do that, you know what your mom wants for Mother's Day? She wants her dog to live longer. That's what she wants. She wants another year or two with her dog. Now, maybe you're thinking you can't do that for her, but that would be a mistake, because your dog can live longer and healthier if your dog gets rough greens. If you sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food doesn't have anything in it. It's all empty calories, but rough greens is vitamins and minerals. It's probiotics, omega oils, antioxidants. Why do you think you will see a difference in your dog? And you will quickly. You'll see it in their energy and their coat. Well, don't you feel different and better and look better when you get real nutrition? Free Jumpstart trial bags for you and mom. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? All right. So Scott Bessent not only sat in front of Congress today and verbally beat up poor Maxine Walters, he also said something about the payments and the government. And like I just said, it kind of pairs pretty well with this story of the foreign aid official. We'll talk about all this next.
This is an iHeart podcast.